Hey, everyone. You are tuned in to Danny's Diary, a podcast powered by Singing News. My name is Danny Jones. I'm with Singing News Magazine, and I am glad you are listening today. I am surrounded by several characters. I'm going to call each and every one of them friends. You've heard some of these folks on other podcasts, but we took a chance. We put them all together in one room. The world will never be the same. If you are looking at your radio dial, we're going to move down the field left to right. We have Troy Peach of the Perrys and Singing News Radio. We have myself, Kenna Turner West. Then we have Associate Publisher of Singing News Magazine, Rick Francis. And down on the far end, on the right side of your radio, we have Tribute Quartet, baritone singer, pianist, and the leader of the Singing News Fan Awards band, Josh Singletary.
That thump was my knee. I'm so sorry.
Well, okay. There's a great big sign over there. Do not touch the furniture. And you have been warned more than once already this morning. Do not touch the furniture.
I can't be accountable for my knees.
Because you can't be still. I'm watching you.
I know. That's right. This is a room full of ADD people, okay,
wow.
And OCD
Squirrel?
On top of that too.
Yeah. You know,
so basically, everything has to be right, but only for a second. That's pretty much it.
I prefer it right than left.
There you go. All right. Well, we never said he was a comedian, did we?
No, we never did.
All right. Hey guys, let's talk about gospel music. That's what we all do. What's Josh? What's your favorite thing about being in the gospel music world?
The people.
I agree.
I love the people.
Agreed.
You meet people in retail, you meet people in other jobs, and they just get to, I love the people. I enjoy hearing their stories. I enjoy talking with them. I enjoy some of their confusions. They enjoy my confusions. There's a lot of that. It's a lot of that.
Yes.
It is. And you know, we all have different roles in the world of gospel music, but somehow or another, God has allowed us to come together and make this thing work. In fact, that may have been Kenna that I was talking with about this several years ago. We made the offhanded comment about, you know, gospel music sometimes seems like it's the world's largest collection of misfits. But, you know, there is a little bit about that. There's a little bit something to be said.
On the same token, we were talking about this on the bus the other day. Gus Gacius, our tenor vocalist, and I were talking about this. You know, the Bible says that he uses the foolishness of preaching the gospel. And we're like, preaching? We're out here singing. The foolishness of preaching, that has nothing on us trying to get up there and sing the gospel.
And you know, in all the things that we do, we would not be happy doing anything else.
That's so true.
We really would. Yeah. All right, Kenna, you are the sane member of this congregation here. And that does not speak.
Man, we're stretching things today, boys.
Listen, we need to raise that bar.
All right, Kenna, you know, gospel music, it all starts with a song. Mm-hmm. And you have written many great songs. In fact, people in this room have recorded some of those songs along the way, sang some of those songs. And if they haven't, they will be doing that soon, or else they can't leave the building, correct?
Amen.
True,
amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So, Kenna, what do you feel is one of the greatest inspirations for any songwriter today? What one topic do you think an aspiring songwriter should lock onto and say, there's where you start?
Wow. That is so hard. Okay. This might be two, but I'm going to go back and quote something that Connie Hopper told me. Because I grew up in Southern gospel music. So I grew up reading the CDs and who wrote what, or albums even. And Connie wrote a song years ago called Stand for Jesus. And that thing just tore me up. And I didn't even know why, because I wasn't even a believer yet, I think, when I first heard it, if I have that right. No, I was. I just hadn't read tons of scripture yet. And you get to the bridge, and it says, you can stand with the ones who have shut the mouths of lions, turned to flat great armies, quenched flaming fire in a weakness, or made strong. And I would cry when I would hear that. Mm-hmm. And I would call her and go, this makes me cry. And I didn't even know why I was crying. Years later, maybe 86, 87, I finally made it all the way through the Bible for the first time. Because, you know, you go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you get to Revelation, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Well, then it gets tough reading, so you go right back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know. But I made it all the way through, and I got to Hebrews 11, and it says, and you can stand with the ones who shut the mouths of lions. And I'm like, that's Connie's song. Well, Connie would say, no, that was Hebrews. Mm-hmm. So to me, to be able to say what scripture says in a song, to testify to what the word says. Because we can rhyme stuff and our words can be clever, but they're not life, Danny. Mm. And they're not sharper than a two-edged sword. They don't get in there, but his word does.
Boy, that's
so
really
if I
good.
Could say anything, it would be that. But
that's good stuff.
But Connie said, you always need a song about the cross. You always need a song about the blood. Because trends change. Chords change. Reverbs change. But man, we always need a song about the cross. We always need a song about the blood. Because that's everything, isn't it?
Mm,
well, that was a long answer.
Shoot.
No, yeah, but I will sit up for the next 10 minutes.
What a great answer to
yeah, this
great
podcast
question.
Has been brought to you by.
Right. We're going to take up an offering next.
That's powered by Kenneth Turner West.
Hey, well, the answer is the cross.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you covered it.
Mm. That's right.
Wow. Awesome.
That's why you're such a good songwriter.
Amen.
Yeah, well, you know, we're proud of you.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I like to talk a lot. Now, don't amen or nothing.
Amen.
But for me to say anything in 3.5 minutes, it has to be in a song, because in person I'm going to talk an hour and a half. So.
Well, there you go.
Don't amen me, y'all.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. So in person it's documentaries, otherwise it's a song. Okay, is that what it is? Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's. I'm going to. Now, here is a real curveball. I don't think we've ever asked this question on any other podcast, but let's go back in time.
Ooh.
All right, and we'll start with Troy over here. Oh, Troy,
wow. Okay.
You think about all the great groups that have come along in gospel music from days gone by, the Statesmen, the Blackwood Brothers, J.D. Sumner and the Stamps, the Cathedrals, and so on. If you could have been a member of any one of those classic groups, which one would you have preferred to be on the bus with?
Wow.
Honestly, when I was growing up, I always wanted to be Larry Henson.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to be in that spot because I learned a long time ago, I'm not a Kenny. I'm not a Joseph Habedank. I'm not one of those guys that I'm not the Thriller. Mike Speck always taught me one time that a group had to have three parts. You had to have a blesser, a blender, and a Thriller.
Wow.
In a group.
Write that down.
Yeah.
That's in Kenna's next song.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I know I'm not the Thriller. But I can be a blender and I can be a blesser.
Wow.
And so I always wanted to be that Larry Henson spot, that one guy that was sitting there just tying it all together to make the rest of it work. That's so I would like to be a Henson.
All right, so the Hensons. That's all crazy. Right, Josh, you had panic in your eyes when I turned around right there. You knew I was coming to you next,
well,
didn't you?
I was listening to that because when I was a kid, I'd never even heard of the Hensons. I know, it's just almost sacrilegious to say amongst all these people.
Wow.
I'd never heard of them. But if I could go back through history of all the things that I've heard, Statesmen were so polished.
Oh, yeah.
They were just so good. They were innovators. They were using them for saltine cracker. Nabisco was using them for commercials. Their sound was just so good and so marketable. I was a fan of that. I would have loved to have sung with that.
Mm-hmm. Big energy.
How would you do a commercial for Nabisco crackers?
How would I do?
Yeah. Do your radio voice, Josh. Do one.
Don't eat them without anything to drink. Nabisco crackers.
They're sort of dry, but sort of delicious.
They're sort of dry, sort of delicious.
And now
they're
know
real good
the
with Mater
did that commercial. Now, Josh.
All right. You chew them up quick.
Here you go.
This episode of the Danny's Diary podcast is sponsored by IMC Concerts, the premier concert and event promotions company for the very best in gospel, bluegrass, and classic country music. Make your plans now to attend the Pennsylvania Gospel Music Festival. It's held every Labor Day weekend in the heart of Pennsylvania Amish country. This exciting annual event featuring many of your favorite artists is held at the American Music Theater in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And for more information and to purchase your tickets for the Pennsylvania Gospel Music Festival, visit www.gardenspotpromotions.com and click on the festival link. You can call 800-648-4102. Thanks to our good friends at IMC Concerts for sponsoring this episode of the Danny's Diary podcast.
Well, Rick Francis, he spent many years on the buses of Naomi and the Seagos, the Mid-South Boys, and the McCameys as a musician, played bass, played steel guitar, whatever else they may have thrown at him at the time. Rick, I'm going to throw the same question to you. Where would you have been in the 1960s, early 70s?
Well, the answer for me is easy. I'm going to say two groups. I thought the Oak Ridge Boys nobody was cooler than the Oak Ridge Boys. And I'm talking about that era of the early 70s. But as a musician, who I would have loved to have traveled with and played with was the Happy Goodman family.
Wow. Oh, yeah. That would have been good. Yeah.
The style of music, not only the style of music, but the lyric that they sung, but then the big, big sound that they had.
That drive.
The big, big sound that many times during the early 70s, I would go see the Happy Goodman family. During those days where they wore the big, bright, colored crushed velvet blazers, they had the town or the city symphony would back them in the big auditoriums. That was an excitement like I have never experienced again.
Yeah. Hey, here's a little bit of trivia for you. The Happy Goodman family. Of course, we all know Eddie Crook. He's a very successful record producer. But before he did well in that, he was also the pianist for the Happy Goodman family for a long time. And he was there during the heyday. And one day he and I got to talking in the office, because I worked for him for a few years. We got to talking in the office about his time on the road, and those crushed velvet jackets came up. And he said, you know, I never really did like them. We had a purple one, we had a blue one, we had a red one, and I think he said we had a black one as too. And I said, were those things hot as they looked? He said, oh, no, we figured out how to get around that. And I said, okay, what did you do? He said, if you'll notice, on most all of those jackets, there's a ruffle sleeve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was. Yeah.
But that's all it is. The inside, they wore short sleeve shirts. The cuff was attached to the jacket.
Brilliant.
Wow.
Smoke and mirrors, baby. Smoke and mirrors.
You need to go back and look at the pictures now.
That's right. So ever since then, every time I run across a picture of the Happy Goodman family, I'm trying to find, okay, is that accurate or not? Well, apparently it was built up into the sleeve just enough that when you move your arm and the jacket sleeve fell backwards, it still looked good.
Wow.
So hats off to whoever came up with that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That was a girl that thought of that, I feel sure.
Probably Vestal.
Yeah, probably.
Speaking of the Happy Goodmans, I told that to Aaron Wilburn one time. He was there during that era. And we were talking about the Happy Goodman's band, and I told Aaron, I said, man, as a young kid, I was sitting on the edge of my seat. And Aaron looked at me and said, so was I. He was on stage. Wow. He said, so was I. I was sitting on the edge of my seat, too.
Wow. I believe that.
I'll give you another insider tip here. In that same conversation with Eddie that day, I said, who actually called the shots on stage? And he said, it's the closest thing to planned chaos I ever saw.
Oh, wow.
And I said, all right, explain to that. He said, anybody on the front line, whether it was Sam, Rusty, Howard, or Vestal, could do whatever they wanted to whenever they chose to. Now, he said, we did have a little bit of a set program, but not much. We knew what we were going out with and maybe a couple other songs. But he said, a lot of times, Vestal, if she wanted to go a certain path, that's the way we would go. If Rusty wanted to do something, that's the way we would go. He said it was rare that you saw the same program twice.
Yeah.
And of course, all of us who are involved at concerts every weekend, we know how easy it is, even just by sheer accident, to get into a little bit of a set program, because you know this works here. Mm-hmm. This is a great follow-up to this song, that kind of thing. But what made a lot of those groups good of that era too, they were very sensitive, just as many of the groups of today are, about watching where you are being led in a concert, when to change directions and where to go. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of cool. Kenna, what quartet did you want to be in?
Well, I actually was in a quartet in the 80s for a while. That's kind of crazy. But I tell you who I wanted to be. I wanted to be... And I just said this to her last night, and she knows this. I tell her all the time. I wanted to be Kelly Nealon when she came out with that record, Her Father's Child.
Great record.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Every song on that record. Or when they did Over a Thousand Tongues. I even had her perm, and you roll the top and brush it out. I had that. I wanted to be Deb Talley when they would do their big songs. I loved her. Loved Connie Hopper.
Oh.
If you just name it. And Tanya Goodman. All her solo stuff, especially her Innocent Eyes CD. These are some of my best friends, and I'm their greatest fan. It's this weird line of... I said this to Kelly last night.
That is so true about this music. we're such. I'm still a big fan of it.
Yeah, but
and they're like
friends.
Our friends.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird.
All right, one more question to go around here, and everybody can jump in here. We've all had people we've looked up to in gospel music, and each one of us has had more than one person that we would consider a mentor or an influence or whatever. But I'd like to know, in each of your cases, the one best piece of advice someone gave you about gospel music and who said it. Anybody want to volunteer to go first?
Sure. Right. E.T. Everett is a producer of the 3ABN network somewhere in Illinois. I don't know exactly where it's at. She's been involved in gospel music for years. The best advice she ever gave me, I was going to be on a program. It was when they used to do the Pianorama thing at the National Quartet Convention every year in Louisville. And I was really nervous. I knew who all was going to be on the program. And I'm like, I know what I'm going to play. This is going to be not the greatest moment of my life. I'm scared to death. And I talked to her about it, and she didn't hardly know me from Adam. She told me, she said, they do what they do. You do what you do.
Wow. Mm.
And you forget about everything else.
And
on so many levels, it's so true. Not just on the talent level, but with whatever it is you have to say, whatever message you have to bring. You were given one particular job. They were given their own job.
That is so good.
Yep.
You leave it alone and just do it.
Yep. You just got to be Josh. Right.
Yeah.
That's so
be
great.
Be yourself.
All right, Troy?
Tracy Stuffel always used to say to me, one of the things that he would always say, he said, we've got very few of these guys that are still out here in the business that whatever it takes to get the night done, I don't care if it's working on the bus, setting up the sound system, singing, lead, MCing, whatever, you've got to be whatever it takes to make the night happen. And that's what I've really tried to do my entire career. I don't care what it is. If it means changing the oil in the generator, that's what I'm doing. I'm not above doing anything out here on the road. And so Tracy taught me to do that. And
I can see that.
That's been good.
Yeah, yeah. That's Troy Peach.
All right, yeah. All right, Kenna.
Well, I kind of already said mine, I guess. I just remember Connie saying it's always about the cross, always, and that's huge. Even if I'm writing a happy song about something else, it's always tethered to that truth, always.
Right. Rick Francis,
you
Mr.
threw
Quiet.
Me a curveball here,
but yay,
I will say this, Glenn Payne. I was most impressed with how Glenn Payne of the Cathedrals handled business. And he always returned my phone call, as busy as they were, and they were at the top of their game at the time. If I had to contact, this was before emails, okay? This was before cell phones. Glenn Payne always returned my call.
Yes.
As busy as he was. And that taught me something. It doesn't matter when you've got a list of people to call back. It doesn't matter how busy you are or how important you think it is. Mm-hmm. Call people back.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Well, I actually have two.
Cool.
And these two things have stuck in my mind ever since they happened. The first one was from James Blackwood.
Hmm.
And, you know, I'm not a singer, I'm not a musician, but I'm on stage enough to know that there are some things you don't do and some things you do, and, you know, and sure. I kind of know what to do, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But he said this, always remember, this may be the one and the only time someone out there has an opportunity to know you.
Wow.
This may be the only time you hear you sing. This may be the only time they get to know your personality.
Yeah.
So whatever you do, you treat it like it's the best performance of your life.
Man, yeah.
And then the other one was from George Johns. George, as we know, could talk to a room of 15,000 people, and 15,000 people would feel like George was only talking to them.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And he said two things, and so I guess actually there's three things. He said, you talk to people, not at people.
Right. Yep.
And then he also said, don't worry about trying to get them all because you never will. Just aim for the majority.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's right. So everything we've all just said has helped to shape and mold our careers and our lives, and we're very thankful for our heritage. And we're thankful for Troy and Josh and Rick and Kenna for joining us on Danny's Diary today. And we want all of you who are listening to come back for the next podcast. You have been listening to Danny's Diary, a podcast powered by Singing News. We'll see you next time.